I'm Gabe Ostheimer, if you don't know me, and I'm the principal for your kids. So I'm going to start us out tonight, and I'll go through pretty much the stack of papers that you have. Kelly Glackin, the school nurse, will come in. We did Narcan. We began this last week Narcan training for fentanyl, and so she'll talk to you about what we're doing with that and why we need to be doing that. Buffalo High School, virtually all staff will be trained in that on Thursday morning. So we're moving forward with that. And then either Karen Blaney or Leah Hoblett will close us out this evening, and they're going to talk, just give you an update on the fall play production and tell you about what that's going to be. So that's kind of the way we're going to go about it. I'm going to try to do this in Mrs. Fonda's order. So she started these questions, concerns, suggestions form. I think she just began these last month. And so it's important that you see and get a response to every one of those things. So if we and then below that you have one for this month, right? And then she just compiles them, and we'll have that back to you, back to the group in the November meeting. So there was a question that arose, what about STEM curriculum? The response, and I can elaborate if need be, Buffalo High School has this, but in comparison to other schools, as we were just kind of talking about, it might look or sound a little bit different. We don't have all the resources that a big 4A school does. So if you're not familiar with STEM, it's science, technology, engineering, and math. In the new vernacular, they refer to it as STEAM, and they stick an A in there for arts. And the goal being that every student who is interested in those things has an opportunity to, through a high school education, to be educated in those things. And so we have as robust a science and math curriculum that we can support at Buffalo High School. Technology, we've got Mr. Farwell in the past has done technology for kids. He's done CAD and AutoCAD and those kinds of things. And then Krista Sweckard does our computer science. So I feel like we are doing what we can do. When it comes to the engineering portion of that, that would really fall back toward Mr. Farwell and the work that he does. We're in a sort of a growing pain situation at the moment because, you're welcome. As you may or may not know, when as our shop wood shop teacher retired, Mr. Farwell moved to the wood shop, and so he kept and still has this year a few students on computers in his classroom in the shop that are finishing. They started that CAD progression of courses, and so they're finishing those CAD progression of courses. I'm not adding new CAD courses to that though, because I need him in the shop. So we're sort of sunsetting that program for now, but it's still there, and when we have resources again, I'm certainly looking at bringing that back. So it's a little bit of a juggling.
Can I just ask a question on that? On the computer science, I know that but this year it kind of turned into more of a gaming program.
Well,
and so I'm just asking, is there any hope for more coding and other than gaming? I mean, I know that you can do it that way, but I kind of like to see maybe something else in it. And is that something that can be available through the college? What grade level does that happen? Things like that.
Right. So that was the other piece I was going to add, is that we have courses available through the college, and we have courses available through this program called Edgenuity. Exactly what's available in that area, I don't know. What she looked at over the last couple of years was the rise in the interest of gaming, and she feels she can build the coding into that and capture more kids. What that will look like next year is something that we will determine beginning in January. because we're looking at that stuff all the time.
Well, just another comment about the engineering stuff, too. The stuff that Mr. Farwell did a few years back, 6 years, 7, 8 years ago with our oldest son, I mean, that was just phenomenal for him, you know, doing the solid works and getting certified in that at different levels. That just threw him way ahead of some of the engineers in his class.
Yep. Yeah.
So I would encourage that kind of stuff.
And again,
I know you need him in shop.
I do. He is my woods teacher, and that's what he's going to do for the foreseeable future. Thank you. I appreciate it. Attendance. So this question came up: what attendance, competency versus seat time. So we are tied to something called a Carnegie unit, which means students have to spend this many hours in a seat in a course in order to earn credit. So here's me in a dream world sometimes, right? You bring a freshman in and you just start testing them to see at what level they should go. Or you bring a sophomore or junior transfers in and you just begin testing them to see at what level they should go. But we can't do that. So we're tied to the district requirements for graduation and the state requirements for Carnegie units. Concerns. College is not for everyone, and that is okay. We kind of began a little bit of that conversation here before we started the meeting. That is absolutely one of our focuses at Buffalo High School, is that regardless of what a student's next step after high school is going to be, our job is to prepare them for that. So whether it's engineering or whether it's trade school to be an electrician, we need to prepare that student to get there. So I'm so on board with that. Hope to see resources for alternative career pathways, tech school, apprenticeship. So we do a little bit of the apprenticeship work through Mr. Borgelli in a program called Working Smart. So we do have kids that may have a seventh and eighth hour free, and they are going to work with somebody as an apprentice. They are being paid in most cases. So we do some of that. Can we grow that program? Probably.
Does that start at senior level, or what year do you guys offer?
Juniors.
At juniors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Testing a better assessment of students is the expert fair and January Jubilee. We're all about experiential learning and either performance assessments or something along that line, projects. But we're never, I can't say never. In the near future, we're not getting away from standardized testing either, right? ACT is still here. YTOP is still here. WorkKeys is still here. We will pass the expert fair suggestion on to the expert fair folks. And you're welcome for having this meeting. I think it's been really good. I know Mrs. Fond is constantly hopeful that we generate a little bit more interest, I guess. You have a schedule, right? So this is the year, the school year for these meetings. So you should have that there. Again, continuing the same place and the same times. We did put, so again, we do this core issue schedule, right? So Monday through Thursday, we have a core content teacher available from 4 to 5 to help students. There's one change, the Halloween, that one has been canceled. So if you want to cross that off, you can cross that off on October 31. And then we will have a new one out probably next week for November. Okay. Are we down to, is this the last of your paper? Okay, so this is kind of what I came to talk about. So every year, we produce what we call the Buffalo High School report card. And it's much more a holistic look, but and it's not too data packed. We could do this thing that's, you know, 6 double-sided pages and filled with data, but that's not really the message we want to send. We want to put out what we're doing and how we're doing in a way that we feel like people can understand, ask questions if they want more depth or clarity. Becca spent a little bit of time. I'm not sure we're 100% complete with last year, but on the back you do have the ACT test results, right, in each competency area. So you got the English, math, reading, and science. Your eyes are probably better than mine. I had a little bit of trouble differentiating the little color blocks, little bit. So we'll work on that. Again, she just got this put together for us tonight. So you can see things like the GPA, right? And it just a reminder or information that we use the Hathaway weighted GPA to determine class rank and graduation honors. Pluses and minuses don't affect GPA. AP courses and college credit courses receive an extra point. So instead of being on a 4-point scale, they're on a 5. That's the weighted piece. And all academic courses using letter grade scale are counted on transcripts. So last year's graduating class weighted GPA of 3.57. It's pretty strong. And you can kind of see how those kids break down. And we have this conversation all the time. When we have a relatively small graduating class and you start looking at the ACT pies, we want to make sure that nobody can identify a student, right? And when your class gets really small, some of those numbers get really small. And that can become a problem. So like in reading, you have one student who scored the orange. And we probably need to regroup those kids, right, so that we have 8 kids that scored the orange or gray kind of deal. So these are things that we're working on. As you may or may not know, I came from Thunder Basin High School, and we had 300 graduating. Not a problem. But when your numbers get small, it does become a problem, and we want to make sure that we maintain confidentiality in everything we put out.
Last year's graduating class was like 55 or 56 kids, right?
That's correct.
I know the freshman class coming in last year was double that.
Yes.
Do you see that continuing?
So that's the biggest bubble that we see, but the incoming freshmen this year, I think we're at 86.
Okay. So still growth.
Yes. It's not...
It's not as small.
I don't see one, at least down through the middle school, there's not one that small.
Okay.
And I know I've looked at the elementary classes too. I think the kindergarten class this year is huge. So I don't see that trend happening, though.
Okay.
Let's see. So there you can see the dual and concurrent enrollment classes that are offered through Buffalo High School, the AP classes. And then we always talk about participation rates. So when I was a principal at Kelly Walsh High School, we did a survey of our graduating seniors. And one of the interesting things that we found was that if a senior had been involved in something during high school, and it didn't, we had unicycle club, and once a week those kids rode unicycles up and down the halls. But board games or puzzle club or whatever, or football or cheerleading or volleyball or whatever, it doesn't matter what it was. If they were involved in something, their graduation rate was 100%. 100% of the kids who were involved in the high school graduated. So we spend a lot of time focusing on, are you involved in something? And this doesn't list everything we do, right? These are just the WHSAA sanctioned stuff. And we offer a lot of clubs as well, right? So last year we began a trap shooting through the Wyoming State High School Trap Shooting Association. And we've got some kids involved that aren't involved in a couple other areas in school. And so whatever avenue we can look at to get 100% of our kids, that's what we're going to do. So already pretty good, in my opinion. We're 80% just in the High School Activities Association. But I want 100% of our kids doing something, because when you see the data that 100% of your kids who are involved actually earned a diploma, that's pretty convincing, right? I don't, any questions on what's on this or anything that suggestions, things? And this is something you can always come back to me with. Again, I don't want to make it something that's so cumbersome that people struggle to get through it, but I want it to sort of summarize who we are and what we're doing so that there's a lot of transparency in what goes on at Buffalo High School as well. So if there are, if you're looking through it and you're thinking, well, what about including this? I would love those suggestions.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
On the grade scale of weighting, does that apply to what's going on here?
It does.
And so is this on a 5? Because I see that there's GPAs 1.5 to 199 up to a 4 and a 4.5 to 4.9. So you're actually working on a 5?
Yeah, so the grading scale for all ranking of students at Buffalo High School works off that that weighted Hathaway scale, which is the 5-point. Correct.
And I think to kind of go into that, a reason you won't see a 5.0 is because the PE classes are not going to be eligible for that 5.0. So not all classes are going to be on that extended. So you'll never see a full 5.0. Correct?
Yep. Yep. It's interesting. And the year I came, we had 4 different GPAs at Buffalo High School. We had a weighted, we had a college weighted, the Hathaway weighted, the unweighted, and the magical one, I think. I don't know. It was, and it came actually from a parent who said, I can't navigate all of this stuff. Can we simplify it? And yes, we should simplify that. So, been really good. I think it's been better. I do. And I think kids, it's not a, you know, we looked to make sure that if we were going to use a weighted GPA, we weren't going to damage kids in ranking, because that's not fair when you're a senior. So as we went to that, we were very cognizant of not harming a student. So, hello, Ms. Kelly.
Hey.
No, you are not. So again, if there's data that you would like, we'll crank it out. And if there's a way that you want to, as I said, there's some things here we're going to change on the little pie graphs. But please let us know if there's information that you think that we should be putting out to the public. As we finish this thing up by the end of the week, it'll be on the website, because I believe it's just important to let people know exactly how we're doing and who we are and all of that. So try to be as transparent as we can.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, and don't forget, I'm not leaving, but don't forget that you do have the form to write any questions, concerns, or suggestions as well. Ms. Kelly, are you about?
Yeah.
Okay, because I ran long, so. Ms. Kelly Glacken, she is our school nurse.
Hi, sorry, I'm PT, so I'm dressed like this.
You look like you need a nurse.
No, I have to wear the boot again. I wanted to come today just to kind of talk to the parents about Narcan. It's the medication we're going to start having in the schools. Because of just the opioid crisis that we have right now. So I'll kind of run you through a little bit of what the training looks like when discussing it with you guys. But I am in charge of training all the employees in the district on Narcan. So for those of you that don't know, fentanyl is a man-made opioid that we have right now that is coming in mass volumes, like from Mexico, for example. And it's 50 times more powerful than heroin. I want to make sure I get it right. 50 times stronger than heroin, 100 times stronger than morphine. So other prescription examples are like morphine, like I just said, Vicodin, and oxycodone, OxyContin. we just had the PD come and talk to us, and meth is still in Wyoming, like, the number one illegally used drug. I feel like you're right in the window. I'm sorry. I'll try to stand. There you go. And then the next one is fentanyl. So it's kind of scary. We have had an experience on campus in the past with that, so we wanted to make sure that we're keeping our kids safe. So, you know, why are people using the substance? And it gives just that normal euphoric high. But what's the problem is, like, when we had our incident, is that it's very addictive, so it's cut into other substances, like marijuana, for example. And you, or if you're taking the pill, you don't know, is it like 10 milligrams or is it 100? When it's illegally made, it's not the same amount every time. So you could take it once, and that could be a lethal dose, which is really scary. Especially, like, if you're smoking weed somewhere and you didn't know that it was mixed in, and then all of a sudden you're overdosing. Right? So we just want to be cognizant of that. The Wyoming Department of Health on the 13th sent out some information about it. That's sort of, I read through the article and then I added my own, so that's what I'm referring to right now. And that's a big thing, is that people can be unaware that a synthetic opioid has been added to something else that they're using. So we're trying to make sure we're keeping everyone safe. When a big thing, of course, in giving Narcan is recognizing an overdose. And the two symptoms that you would see in an overdose is someone is not responding, and then they're not breathing. So those are the things that we're pushing. You're not breathing is like turning blue fingertips, making gurgly sound, and then they have pinpoint pupils. And then we give Narcan. So Narcan is going to be in our AED. We wanted to make sure it was available. Any emergency medication should never be locked away, so only certain people can access it. So AED, EpiPens, and a Narcan, we all have downstairs available to anyone. And our whole staff is going to be trained on it tomorrow. So we're going to be ready to roll. Hopefully never, ever will we need to use it. So the Narcan, it knocks the opioid off the receptor. So that means it essentially reverses in 3 to 5 minutes the symptoms of an overdose. It's really awesome. And what's really important is there are no negative side effects once it's administered, so it's a really safe medication to have at school. Like, I was talking to the county health officer in Sheridan, and he felt more comfortable writing a standing order for Narcan than for EpiPens, because if someone were to accidentally give one, it's like very safe. It will reverse the symptoms in 3 to 5 minutes, and then we get a two-pack. The Wyoming Department of Health helped organize a thing where we got it for free for our district. So if you have to give it again, there's a second dose in there. And in the meantime, I'm teaching staff, you might have to give CPR, maybe breaths, maybe compressions. It kind of just depends. And we're always going to call 911 after administering an emergency medication. It's like a Band-Aid sometimes, so they should really be, you know, assessed by a clinical provider. And that's sort of all I have about Narcan. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are educated on what we have in the school available to help keep the kids safe. Do you guys have any questions, too? I wasn't sure.
The concern I have is medical staff, yourself, doctors, and EMS, they're all authorized to administer drugs. How does that transfer over to non-licensed?
I wonder if I have it. Oh, no, I don't have any state statute. There's a state statute, and I don't know which ones they are. There's two in Wyoming. One is about EpiPens, one is about Narcan. It falls under the Good Samaritan law, so assuming we're diligently training, which we're going to review every year, I've worked with Dr. Schuler, and I've also spoken with Buffalo PD. They administer the medication as well. They carry it on them with Sergeant Bassett, yeah, to make sure we have that ironed out. So we do a formal training every year to make sure that they're doing it correctly, and it's considered important enough, and you can't really give it incorrectly. It's like, if someone wasn't overdosing on an opioid, it's not going to harm them. So that's another reason the statute covers that under the Good Samaritan law. It's really important. Yeah.
Would that same thought apply to like an aspirin?
If you were to take first aid CPR through the American Heart Association, they recommend giving aspirin if an adult is having a symptom of a heart attack. That's not something we do here, though.
I'm just asking in regards to knowing that there's sensitivity to be dispensing just a simple aspirin or Buffarin or any of the types. You know, there's a sensitivity for who is dispensing that.
Narcan is considered safe for anyone to administer, assuming that they're doing their best to assess the situation and see that an overdose is occurring.
So then what is the prevalence of such a thing, fentanyl, here in the school?
You would
need that. Because I know that the police department here in town has a supply.
Right. Well, we are Murphy's Law, preparing for any situation that might be bad. When I think about giving it, I was just telling my brother-in-law this, I mostly think about spectators at a game or a sport. I worry about an adult in the population who shows up, not necessarily the students. So that's where my concern comes in. I'm from Colorado, and like EpiPens, for example, it was pretty controversial getting stock EpiPens in the schools, but we really pushed for it, and when we ended up giving them quite a few times in the district, the last year I was there, it was mostly people who came to watch games afterwards. It was mostly adults who were not staff members. So that is my concern. I don't know the prevalence in the school. Like when PD came and talked to us, they don't have specific stats on the teens, and if they did, they weren't telling us that. But, I mean, it's not like we're seeing kids overdose in the hallways, if that's your question. I just want to make sure that, God forbid that ever happened, we could save someone's life. Because I wouldn't feel comfortable not having that here. Does that answer your question? How is it administered? Sorry, it's intranasal. That's really important. Yeah, so it goes up your nose. Unlike other medication, like seizure med, you put half in each. It just goes in one nostril. And then it's a pretty vascular surface, and there are lots of blood vessels. So it's absorbed really quickly. That's why I can work in 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions? The school board, so we have a policy on it. Our policy is administering medication to students. We've added opioids, and it's gone through opiates. That's the same thing, essentially. Two readings of the school board. So it's passed there, too. Awesome. If you ever do have questions or concerns, you can always email me or call the school and talk to me. I work at the middle school and the high school, and I cover New West, too.
And Kelly, I guess I just want to say that I'm glad to hear that the school is getting it, because one of the things that we're seeing as a trend nationwide, as well as in Johnson County, and granted on a small scale in Johnson County, is that sometimes when people are getting fentanyl or accessing fentanyl, they aren't meaning to. And so there are times that they believe they're taking something else, and then, in fact, they've ingested fentanyl, which can be extremely lethal in very small doses.
Yeah.
So we might have a kiddo who thinks they're taking an ibuprofen or something else because that's what their friend said it was, because that's what their friend, who's their friend, said it was. And by the time it gets to them, it's something they had no idea that they were taking. So I think it's important to just keep in mind that it's not just about targeting or helping problem children, but also children that may access something completely accidental because they have a headache or they have a muscle ache or pain from a sport or athletic injury that they have. And so I just wanted to add that it's not necessarily just the drug culture that we're trying to combat. It's overall trying to provide safety and wellness for kids that may come interact with it on accident.
Thank you. And that's another thing. When we were talking about where to put it, is we wanted to make sure that after school population, like athletes is kind of who you're just talking about, has access to it, so that would include spectators as well. That's why it's in that AED by the lunchroom. So, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Tell me in here, so I wasn't sure if I was going to have one question.
Ms. Blaney.
Hello. Welcome. I'm Karen Blaney. I guess this is the spot over here. So some of you were here the last time I was here, maybe. So sorry I'm back again so soon. I was joking with Madonna that I just happen to be a person who loves to talk. So I've just signed myself up for lots of these, I guess. No, it was kind of a surprise. This time I'm here to talk about all things theatrical. I'm the drama director at Buffalo High School. I've been the head director for 8 years, I think. And prior to that, ran a little Christmas holiday program for, I don't remember how many years we did that, where we did a little holiday play, which we have not done since COVID. But We run two productions a year, and we are currently in production for Percy Jackson and The Lightning Thief, which is a musical. We're doing back-to-back musicals, partially because we just have an incredibly talented bunch of kids right now that are just great singers, and just having directed musicals over the years, that does not always happen. And so we have kind of a dream team of particularly male voices these last 2 years, which is pretty rare. So we selected a fall play that's also a musical, and that was probably, in hindsight, a terrible mistake. But we're always trying to find a place for theater at Buffalo High School. Buffalo High School has got a huge number of kids out for all sorts of extracurricular activities, which we love here. We love that our kids are trying all sorts of things and parts of all sorts of teams, but it makes theater the way we do it particularly difficult. We have, on the rosters, we probably have about 50 kids in theater, which for a school this size is astronomical number. But part of the reason it's that large is because we practice on Monday and Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. From 6 to 8 or 8:30. And we run our practices at night so that kids who are in other activities like football and volleyball and cross country and swimming and marching band, etc., can also participate in theater. Which I like. Prior to this, they ran theater very traditionally after school, and the plays had the same 10 theater kids in them every single play, which is fine, but not really exposing more kids to theater. I'm a huge believer that theater is for everyone. We try really hard to get kids from all walks of life. We try hard to reach out to our special ed colleagues and make sure we have places for all kids in theater. And it's really been wonderful. And I think for a lot of kids, it's one of the few places in the school where kids from all walks of life are mix and are friends. Because if you're an athlete, you tend to run with the athlete pack. And if you're not an athlete, you run with that pack. But theater has all kinds of kids, and I think that's really rewarding. We also have a philosophy that every kid is on stage if they want to be. We don't cut. They might not have the hugest role, but we make sure. If we can't find a play big enough, I write it, and that's happened several times, just because it's very hard to find a large cast show that has meaningful parts for kids. I can't write a musical, so I have not written a musical, nor shall I, but that's kind of how we roll. We do auditions, but we make sure that by the time the list is posted, we have parts for all kids. Some kids who, if a kid isn't cast in a larger role, they know that the expectation is they're going to practice more than just Monday and Tuesday nights. If a kid is in the ensemble, like kind of the crowd, the milieu scenes, typically they can practice just Monday and Tuesday nights. Although with the musical in the fall, that's been kind of hard to hold to that. We've had some additional practices because marching band, yet another performing arts monster at Buffalo High School, marching band has kind of taken lots of our practice nights, so we've had to add a couple, and which is hard on us too. It would be so much easier for me to practice after school and go home at 6 o'clock and enjoy my evenings, but that's just not how theater here is working, and it's a sacrifice that I've chosen to make, so that's fun. We don't yet know what we're going to do in the spring. I'm still kind of working through ideas for that. Our show, our school shows will be the day before Thanksgiving break, and we have hopefully opportunity for some kids in the high school to come to that, and some opportunities for classes that are in the other schools to come. We used to have more like a broader invitation, but it's a little narrower. Some people who taught science and became administrators have different ideas than people who are theater people. I don't know why that is. But anyway, it's going to be a fun show, and I think that we have lots of people interested in that. Theater also sponsors Shakespeare in the Schools. I write a grant for Shakespeare in the Schools every year, and they will be here tomorrow. And so we're going to have a great production of Macbeth. The Montana Shakespeare Company, they are professional actors. They audition. They come from all over the United States. And they do, I can't remember how long their tour is. I think it's like 18 weeks or something. It's a pretty significant tour. And people audition in L.A., Chicago, and New York to be part of that company. And they come travel. And I think they do Shakespeare to the absolute most difficult audience anybody can do Shakespeare to, sophomore boys. I mean, it's really a hard audience, but it makes for really great Shakespeare. It's some of the best Shakespeare you'll ever see because they know they have to be really good to get the audience that they have. And we prep. The English department's been prepping for Macbeth. They tend to alternate. They do a tragedy and then they do a comedy. This year is Macbeth. And Macbeth has one of the greatest, I'm trying to think of a word that's not a cuss word, female witchiest, you can translate that if you wish, characters ever written for the stage. And of course, in Shakespeare's time, they were all played by men. But Lady Macbeth is usually a sight to behold, so I'm really looking forward to this production to see that character. Shakespeare's characters, the most interesting characters usually in most plays are males. And in this play, the play is called Macbeth, but I think it could be easily called Lady Macbeth. And recently, Florence McPugh did a film version of it. I haven't seen it yet. But I'm sure it's rated R, but I would like to watch her version of Lady Macbeth sometime. We also, as a fundraiser, we man the chuck wagon. So if you've gone to a football game and bought a hot dog, thank you. If you've bought 10, thank you very much. That's our primary fundraiser. I don't think our budget really has changed since I started doing theater, but our number of kids has at least quadrupled, if not, I think it's 4 to 5 times what it used to be. And if you think of costuming every kid in a play, we have an extensive costume collection that is currently spilling out into the hallway. But if you think about costuming every kid on the stage, and there's 30 kids on stage, even if they go through 2 costume changes, that's quite a lot of costumes. So we're hoping for a rich benefactor to add to the theater and add dressing rooms. And it would be really awesome to have a black box, smaller theater in our community. It's hard to fill an auditorium of 500 for any show, so it would be really nice to have a smaller venue that we could practice in and have smaller shows. So if anybody has a rich uncle, no? That would be good. I'm trying to think of. We don't travel. Some theater groups take a lot of field trips or go to state drama. And some kids Buffalo High School used to go to state drama. State drama is the weekend of the Christmas parade, and which is my favorite weekend in Buffalo. And also, that weekend happens to be one of the 2 possible weekends we can have a show on and still include fall sport athletes and winter sport athletes. And so we don't travel. That's one of the choices that we make. I'd like to be able to have representation from all sorts. And sometimes those kids, the football kids, like this particular show, the lead is a gentleman named Brogan Byram. He's a senior. He, sophomore year, had never done any theater. He came on junior year in a small role, and he will be singing the lead in the musical in December, December 1st and 2nd. And it's really fun for me. Like, I like to find those kids that never thought of themselves in that way and put them on stage. I remember, forgive me, your oldest son dancing, which I know was bad, but he was really good at it. You know, it's very fun for me. Like, that's part of my personality, is just to reach out and grab kids and just see what happens. And it's always pretty exciting. And not every kid in the theater is on stage. We have probably 15 kids backstage all the time doing that. One more piece I thought I'd mention is, in the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, Mr. Ostheimer has asked me to teach a credit recovery class in the spring for kids who are freshmen or sophomore and in need of recovering that first semester English credit. It's kind of sometimes a shock to kids that they have homework and they have to turn it in, and if they don't, they have to take the class again. I like to run that class as a backstage, I call it backstage drama. I'm not sure if it says that on the books, but I run it like a backstage drama class, and those kids get involved in theater and they help design sets and they write letters and they do sort of business related backstage theater things that are actually jobs out in the real world. We also, this next spring, will have a backstage drama class that is available, I believe, to juniors and seniors. It's one of our electives, a junior-senior elective that kids can take. And we don't offer that every semester. It just depends on how many kids we have. I teach sophomore English, and I have 5 sections this semester, so I don't have room for a backstage drama this semester. But that's another opportunity. And I think it's really exciting because that hits a totally different group of kids and turns them on for theater. And we've been able to pull off. We built a really huge pirate ship. We've built a couple of pirate ships. I seem to have a thing for pirate ships. But that gets some of the kids that are just more hands-on and not really interested in plays or theater, that gets them involved in costume design and set design and all of that stuff. We also have on the books a college level theater class, but again, we can only offer that when we have room in the schedule. And it's a drama script writing class. And I believe the last time we really utilized that college credit, I had just a team of kids that were in backstage drama that decided they wanted to do the script writing part. And we actually, I don't know if that was our last Christmas play, but we wrote the holiday play and that class wrote it. And then we're able to, I mean, how cool is that? You write a play and stage it for 1,000 people. That's a pretty, I think the girls, it was mostly girls on that writing team, and I think they, after staging a play, were like, we're never doing that again, because it was a lot of work. But I think in the years to come, they'll realize that that's pretty cool. A lot of people write things but never get to see them acted. So we have lots of room for volunteers. Chuck Wagon, set, costume. Anybody have any questions about theater? Everybody take out your phones. I know you have phones. This is what the kids do. I say that and they're all like, you don't have phones. Yes, you do. December 1st and 2nd, Percy Jackson. Show starts at 7. I hope to see you there.
When do tickets go on sale?
It's free, which that's also a really big deal. I know, like, there's not a lot of free theater left in the world. We do have a tip jar, collection jar thing that we use to pay for our pizza party and stuff. But we want to keep it free because we want an audience. Theater's not theater. You can play basketball with no one there and still get a win. You can't do theater without an audience. It's not theater anymore. So we hope you come. All right. Thank you. I'm going to go to play practice now.
Thank you.
All right, guys. If there are, I'm happy to answer any other questions. Or you're free to go. Thank you for coming.